Blog Talk Radio.
Testimony. It's not the direction that I had intended on tonight. As you can see, I'm struggling in my voice. but it's the direction that I believe that God would have me to go. I struggled really hard on today. Today was a rough day, and I struggled with even doing a show on tonight. The day went as such that I could tell that I was under spiritual attack. And I knew that I was under spiritual attack. And I almost succumbed to that attack. I mean, I was just going to just send out a broadcast. Hey, the show tonight is we're going to do a pre-recorded from a previous show, that we're not going to do the show on tonight. I was feeling some kind of way, and I just didn't want to do it. If I could just be honest, I did not want to do the show on tonight. And getting ready to, I was making a decision if I was going to go do it, if I wasn't going to do it. I felt like, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. Just was going through. And as I was sitting and going back and forth with the flesh, with the spirit, there's a lady, a prophetess that was on, and I occasionally catch her show. And I caught her show bear with me because it's a little emotional. But I caught her show tonight. I just listened in. She was live. As I was listening to her show, she was saying what I was feeling. She was saying what I was going through. And she was going on and talking. But that's not the part I want to share with you tonight. There was a young lady, because if you know anything about live, you could see everybody that's listening in. It's a line of people, and people are making comments, and people are pressing the like button, and people are pressing the heart button. And so there was this young lady listening in on the show, and she was making comments, and she was saying, I can't do this no more. I just want to die. I want to commit suicide. I don't want to live no more. And all she's saying is nobody's saying nothing. People may have not even seen it. And so I said, man, you know, and then she just said, is anybody listening? And immediately the Holy Spirit said, forget what you're going through. This is somebody that's going through something worse than you're going through. And so I asked the young lady if I could call her, you know, and it took a delay. And I'm not going to go into the details. The end result was I got an opportunity to pray with this young lady. And I'm not sure how young she is, but I guarantee you she probably couldn't be older than 30. And she didn't have anyone. She said she didn't have anyone she could go to that she could walk through this situation, but she was a believer. She was a believer. And so I'm doing the show tonight. Why am I doing this show tonight? And I'm going to get through it. So if I sound a little emotional, it's because I am a little emotional. Because just in that hour, God showed me how much he loved me. And he showed me how much he loved me and how much he needs me. You know, and I'm not saying need in an arrogant way, but I'm saying that he needs us to step up to our post and do what he's called us to do. Even when we don't feel like it, and even when we feel like we're going through our own situations, he needs us to be faithful and be diligent, because had I would have stayed stuck in my own feelings, emotions, this young lady, you know, I'm praying and I'm still lifting her up because I don't know the end result, but I do know that I got an opportunity to speak some words into her. And so had I been so stuck in my own stuff, I would have never been able to see the move of God where he needed me to be at that moment and at that time. And so I just wanted to share that little testimony this evening, because it really, in the midst of it, I didn't feel any emotions because I just was doing what I had to do. After I began to share it with you all, I got very emotional because I realized the dynamic of what just happened. I didn't even know if I was going to make the show after speaking with the, you know, speaking with the young lady, because I didn't know if I was going to be done in time. But what I did know is that that situation was a priority at that time. Amen. So, and it God just has a way, I tell you. So tonight, what I'm going to be doing, I thought I was going to go one direction, and then I believe that God wants me to go another direction. And the direction, and if anyone is having a trouble hearing me, I have been having some phone difficulties. So if for any reason I get garbled, you can't understand me, please feel free to dial 1 on the dial pad, and then that'll let me know that you're having trouble hearing me. But tonight I'm going to be speaking about love. And we did a show last night on Woman to Woman about love, and we're going to be doing a series in the month of February on Woman to Woman. I'm not going to do a series on processing the pain, but tonight I do want to talk about love. I want to talk about love because I believe most of us really don't know what love means. We know what we think it means. We've been in what we thought was love relationships, and I believe that we really don't know what love truly is. And I believe that because most of us have had failed relationships. Most of us have probably been through divorce. Most of us are believers, but we have a struggle in our walk with the Lord. And I believe because we don't understand and truly understand what love is, it makes it very difficult for us to walk this walk. It makes it difficult for us to even understand the love that God has for us, because the love that we know, what we know to be love, is so tainted and contaminated with the ideologies of the world, of what the world considers to be love. So if we believe that love looks like the father who deserted me, or the mother who whooped me, or the siblings who teased me, or the friends who backstabbed me, if that's what we think love looked like, then you could understand why we're going to have a hard time loving, why we're going to have a hard time being able to follow after this spirit, this image called God, that says that God is love. God is love. Can you imagine that? God who created us, and we've been told this is the entity that created us, that breathed breath into us, that sent his only son to die for us. But then we say that we hear that this entity, God, is love. Well, whatever we believe love to be, that's the picture, that's the perception we're going to get. So if that is a bad perception, then we can't see a good God. Amen. So I'm going to go into some biblical forms of love because we want to get an understanding of what love is. Because once we get this understanding of what love is, I believe that we could begin to love God, which is one of the first commandments, is to love God. And then there's another command that he gives us that says to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And we're having a hard time loving our neighbors. Amen. We're having a hard time really loving God. We say out of our mouth, ooh, I love you, God. I love you, Lord. We say this out of our mouth, but our actions are far from it. Our actions are far from it. And so I'm just going to read a scripture here, and then I'm going to go into some of the breakdowns of love. I want to take you to 1 John because, you know, I've been on this 1 John kick, and I tell you, it's been extraordinary. But 1 John, and I'm going to take you to chapter 4. Verses 16 through 18, and I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to go into some other things, and we could go back to it, but I want to read this to you. And it says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I'm going to stop right there. So we're seeing again, God is love, and it's saying that he who dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. So we don't really understand love. It's hard for us to dwell in love. So it's hard for us to dwell in God. Because when we dwell in God, it's going to go on to tell us that when we dwell in God, then we're going to follow his commands. We're going to follow what he commands us to do. Amen. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I want you guys to remember that scripture as we go on tonight. First of all, I'm going to define what I believe love is by what I've been believed and what I've been taught that love is. And love is contending for another's highest good in every situation till it becomes a manifestation. This is the agape love that we hear about. This is the type of love that God has for his children, that he is contending for us. He, no matter what we've been through, no matter what we will go through, no matter all the bad choices we made and the bad decisions and the bad attitude, no matter what, God is contending for our highest good in every situation until it's become a manifestation. Amen. So we're going to start with some biblical love, and then I'm going to share the love with you, what type of love it is. And the reason I'm doing this is because now when you operate in what you believe to be love, you'll know what kind of love you're operating in. And there are different types of love. And so I want to share those different types with you. So, again, when you begin to move in what you believe to be love, you can also say, I know that this is the type of love I'm operating in. What we were going to find out tonight is that, one, either we didn't really truly know what love is. Two, that maybe we're not operating in the love that God requires of us. Three, we may find that we are operating in multiple types of love. And we may find out that we're operating in the incorrect love towards someone that's inappropriate. We may be operating in the inappropriate love towards someone. So this is going to help us. You might want to get your pens and paper as usual. This is not, I'm not going to preach. I'm just going to bring forth the word. And I always recommend that you take notes, jot down scriptures so you could go back for yourself and study those scriptures and look at them. So we're going to start with the first love, storge. And I'm going to spell it for you. S-T-O-R-G-E. Storge love. And this is the type of family love. This is commonly found in the Bible and is vital to a proper function. So storge love is a family type of love. We've seen it displayed, if you're familiar with the Bible, when you think about Martha and Mary with their brother Lazarus, when he got sick, that they had a storge type of love for him. It's a family love. It's an affection. We've seen it with Abraham and his son, Noah and his family, his wife and children. You've seen that type of love. It's a caring love. It's a father and the type of love that a father and mother have for their child. The type of love that we may have for our siblings. But mainly you will see it with parents. Okay, with parents, it's a family type of love. And again, that's the Greek word, storge. And it represents family love and frequently used for the natural affection. This is not a romantic affection, but it's a natural affection that we have towards our children, our parents. Amen? The next love we have is eros. Now, hang in here with me. It could get a little boring, but I'm telling you, if you stick it out, you'll know something that you could take and you could use it. you could get tools to use so that you'll know that you're operating in a kind of love. Not only that, once you really start identifying the various loves, then you'll know what kind of love God has for you and what kind of love God is requiring from you. Amen. So we're going to go to the next love, the second love. Again, the first love was storage love. That's a family type of love. We see it demonstrated among family, siblings, children and their parents. We see that kind of love. The next love is eros. Eros, this is erotic love. This is a passionate, romantic, sensual type of love. This is the love that you see between a man and a woman. We know as believers that this type of love is only acceptable. It's only acceptable within the confines of a marriage. You know, we know that this is the kind of love that people normally get in trouble with, because this is the love that produces the sin, the sin of fornication, the sin of adultery. You know, Paul talks about this, you know, that we have to be able to exercise self-control and be married for this kind of love. He also goes in telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 9 that for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. I believe, and this is truly just a Coach D opinion, but I know, you know, after study that there's a high rate of divorce in the body of Christ, even more so than in the world. And I believe that the high rate of divorce has to do with the misunderstanding of love. I believe that many will marry because of this scripture that says, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And I believe a lot of people are marrying because they don't want to burn with passion. They're marrying because they're not wanting to choose absentee. They're marrying because they don't want to be celibate. So they're marrying people that God didn't ordain to them. They're marrying people that's not their husband, that's not their wife. And as an end result, this marriage, this covenant, this promise is broken, and it ends in divorce because they didn't understand the love. They didn't understand, and they didn't know how to put aside that erotic love. So it had nothing to do with even a storage love. It had nothing to do with an agape love. It just had to do with a passionate love. This love is associated with the flesh. This love is associated with the flesh. And again, it's appropriate in a marriage, but it's not appropriate outside of a marriage. It has to do with the flesh. The eros love has nothing to do with the spirit. It's a fleshly type of love. Amen? And so it's destructive. And it will cause us to operate in sin. It could lead, when we're operating in this eros type of love outside of the bedroom of marriage, it leads to different things. It leads to addiction to pornography. It can lead to idolatry, you know, because you could begin to idol sex. You know, sex could become something that you idolize. So it's so much danger associated with eros. And, you know, most of us, a lot of us, our first experience of love, when we thought we knew what love was about, it was oftentimes the eros type of love. This love was maybe been introduced to us at various points in our lives where emotionally and mentally we were not prepared to understand this type of love. We was not prepared to experience this love. This love is dangerous. It's a dangerous love. It's only protected under the marriage covenant. It's only protected under the marriage covenant, and outside of it is a curse. Let's just call it what it is. It's a curse, and it causes us to make decisions and make choices that's not pleasing to God, and he's not pleased with it. So eros love under the marriage covenant is a beautiful thing. Outside of the marriage covenant, it's a curse, and it's a curse that can send you. It's a curse, and this is the word of God that could send you to hell. Amen? So we want to know that. Then we're going to get into the third type of love. The third type of love is the philia love. This is Philadelphia. Many of you may not know, but Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia, is known as brotherly love. Philadelphia, get it now? So this is a Greek word, philia, and this type of love is a brotherly love. This is the love that, you know, King David in the Bible, before he was king, Saul was king, and David formed a bond with Jonathan. Jonathan was Saul's son, and David and Jonathan became very close. They had this brotherly love. Jonathan would give David the coat off of his back. He had a healthy affection towards David. This is the type of love that you see amongst friends, besties. We call it besties nowadays. It is the intent. It could be outside of the love that God displays. It's the type of love that I believe that this is the love that God wants us to have towards our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe when he says loving your neighbor, you know, love your brother. We see scripture after scripture that's telling us that to love our brother. I believe this is that kind of love that God has, is referring to. Jesus told his disciples in Romans 12, I believe it was Romans 12, he told his disciples, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he goes on to say, greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friend. See, that's that kind of love. So that, as you can see, that's a strong love. When you start talking about laying down your life with someone, that indicates a strong type of love. And I don't know, I believe agape is the complete love, but I believe philia is pretty intense just under agape, because it's a love that's giving. It's a selfless love. If you could imagine, one of the things that came to mind, if you ever, you know, I watch war movies. I never served in the military. I've never been to war, but I watched war movies. And I imagine the soldiers in war movies when they're out to war. And I've never seen a war movie that a soldier that's got wounded, that his fellow soldiers didn't try to pull him to safety. They were willing to put their life on the line to make sure that the fellow soldier was protected, that he was safe, even if he had a leg missing, even if every sign showed that he was not going to live. I've always seen in the movies where they would either throw him over their back or they would drag him out of harm's way. And I believe that that's that kind of love. That's that philia type of love. It's just the unselfish, willing to die, to lay down your life for your brothers. I believe that we have, at some point in our lives, some of us may have experienced that type of love. I'm talking about to the extreme degree. I could think of a time where I was, when I was back doing my thing many, many years ago, I could remember I was in Bible study, believe this or not, this is a testimony. I was in Bible study with another friend of mine, and after Bible study, we decided we're going to go to the club. Okay, that sounds weird. You just come from Bible study, you're going to go to the club. But we decided we're going to go to the club. Didn't know why, but we were going to go. And we got to the club, and we had no intentions of even going in. But we pulled up there, and we sat in the car, and we said, why are we here? We're not going to go in. And there was a car parked next to me. I was in the driver's seat of my car, and there was another car parked next to me, and there was a couple of guys standing at the car having a discussion. And I didn't pay much attention. But then all of a sudden I heard two pops, pop, pop, gunshot, and immediately I ducked. But then when the other gentleman jumped in their car and took off, I realized what had happened, that whoever was sitting in that car, they had just shot that person. And immediately, without any question, without any thought, I didn't know if there was still danger, I jumped out my car, ran over to the other car, and I began to comfort the young man. And I began to pray with him. And I began to ask him if he knew Jesus. And You know, I led him through the sinner's prayer. He couldn't talk, but I just told him to nod. And he began to nod, and he agreed with me on the prayer. And I didn't think about his eye hanging out. I know this is getting gory. I didn't think about the blood. I didn't think about if the people would come back to finish him off. I didn't think about any of that. I just did what I felt in my heart to do. And I believe that could be the philia type of love that God is speaking of, that biblical love that he's speaking of. And who knows? That gentleman didn't survive. He lived a couple of days, but he didn't survive. But God had a plan. God had us to be there at that moment, at that time, for this young man to be able to receive Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's that kind of love. That's the philia type of love. And then I'm going to get to the fourth love, and then we're going to get into some more things. This is the biblical love, and he's showing us in the Bible, by example, what each love is. He's showing us, you know, the storage type of love, which is a family love that we see among Noah and his kids and Abraham and his sons and Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. He told, you know, we see in the Bible the Eros type of love. The Eros type of love we know to send us, if not done in the right context through marriage, it could send us through a bunch of changes. It could send us, it's a curse. We know we've seen David operating this kind of love with Bathsheba, you know, and we, you know, that he operated in this kind of love. It was a passionate, erotic love. And then we got into the philia love, which is the brotherly love. This is the love that was experienced through David and Jonathan. And we probably could tell stories throughout the Bible that represents this kind of love. Many of us have experienced probably each one of these loves in our life. I'm sure we're experiencing those loves now. And then I want to get to the fourth love, and that's the agape love. That is the most supreme love of all. That is the God type of love. That's the attribute of God. He is the agape love. That's that unconditional love, which almost it does not come naturally for us as humans. It does, agape love does not come naturally for us as humans. It's not something, it's something that we have to really force ourselves to work hard. And I don't even know if we could achieve it. I don't know if we could really achieve it. This type of love is supernatural. Jesus displayed this type of love on the cross. Jesus displayed this type of love when he was being crucified. Jesus displayed this type of love when yet, though they tortured him, though they tore his body apart, and yet he was able to still say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now that's love. That's love. How many of us to go through that type of abuse and still find it in our heart to love our abuser? Many of us currently, today, is still in pain and suffering behind something that someone did to us as a child. We are still suffering behind something that someone done to us as a teenager. We are still suffering behind something that someone done to us as a young adult. And believe it or not, today we still find ourselves suffering because of something somebody did, because they said something to us wrong, or they borrowed money and didn't pay it back, or they, you know, they left you at your darkest hour, whatever the thing was. We still holding on to that anger. We're still holding on to that pain. We haven't found it in our hearts to forgive. And oftentimes we say, I forgive them, but I ain't going to forget. Or I forgive them, but they can't come around me no more. That's not the agape type of love that God's talking about. Because think about all the times God had to forgive us. Everything. Today, God had to forgive me. Because today, I was feeling some type of way. God had to forgive me. And I could probably go throughout the week, and if I was keeping note, that's how much he loved me, that I don't even keep note of all the garbage that I think in my mind, or all the things that I say or do that's not pleasing to him, and yet he loves me. And yet he brings me to conviction where I'm able to repent, where I'm able to ask for forgiveness. And some stuff I don't even know. There's a lot of things we do that we're not even consciously aware of, but yet his grace is sufficient. And so that's the agape type of love. That's the type of love that God has for us. This is the thing that he desires for his children, to have this kind of love. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, amen, Christ died. God sent his only begotten son. We know the stories of the gospel. He sent his only begotten son. How many of us would send our children to die for somebody else? How many of us love somebody like that? I got to be honest. I think I love my child like that. I don't know if that's the closest that somebody could get to that kind of love is a parent and their child, maybe. And it's still not quite yet, because we still put conditions on our children. We love them, but we got some conditions. You better do this. You need to do that. Or if you don't do this, you're getting out of my house. We still put conditions even as parents. But yet God, he loves us. And in spite of us, he loves us in spite of us. Amen? And it is not love that condemns us. The agape type of love is not a love that condemns us, but it makes us whole. He said he didn't come into this world to condemn it. So it's not a love that condemns us. It's just a perfect love. And we read earlier, when I first started the show, I wanted to read 1 John. And we talked about, in 1 John, we talked about the perfect love. We talked about God is love, and in him that dwelleth love. So if God is love and God dwells in us and we dwell in him, that's all love. We got that. We found out that the perfect love casts out fear. That godly type of love, it casts out fear. It's the type of love that causes us to contend for another's highest good in every situation until it becomes a manifestation. And most of us, it's hard to contend for somebody that's acting up. It's hard to contend for somebody that don't follow the rules. It's hard to contend somebody that didn't do you right or didn't say the right thing or you feel disrespected you. It's hard to contend. But that type of love, true definition of the godly type of love, is contending for another's highest good. It means going and pushing and driving in spite of. The type of love that God has for us. Isn't it ironic that the greatest commandment is all about love? God first and foremost, and then, so think about it. It's all about love. And the first one is vertical. It's a vertical love, us and God, God and us. And then secondly, it's a horizontal. It's our neighbor, our brother, and sisters in Christ. I want to go into these. Those were the four biblical loves. Those are the loves that we see operating through the Bible. Amen. And I wanted to just go a little bit further, because I just wanted to share, because in the world, there's more love. There's more Greek words for love that we're learning. And some of these may not be, or they may not be necessarily, we may see them in certain scriptures and stuff, but they're not identified, they're not spoken of, but I want to put them out there. Why do I want to put them out there? Because you guys are human. You're in the flesh. And because you're in the flesh, you probably experienced some of these other loves I'm supposed to bring up. And I want to bring them up to you because you probably have experienced them, and I want to just be able to share with you either the positives or the negatives of these type of loves. We already talked about agape type of love, which is that biblical love. That's that God love. Amen. So we already talked about that. And then we talked about the steward's love. So I'm not going to even go back over there. And we talked about the eros, which is the romantic, sensual type of love. But there are three other loves, I believe, that I want to bring to your attention on tonight. And one, the first one is called infatuated love. It's a playful love. We heard of infatuated. Oh, I'm so infatuated. Or she's so infatuated with him. And one could argue that this is actually a form of love, that this isn't actually a form of love at all. People say, well, infatuation is not love. But it is a form of love. Infatuated love requires no commitment between the partners, but the individuals involved have passion and desire for each other. They enjoy activities together, but are not in for a long-term relationship. Now, we see a lot of eros in this infatuated love. Amen? But it's without sacrifice. It's without sacrifice. It's an infatuation, which means that it's temporal. It's subject to change. I would probably say that this is kind of what we refer to as puppy love. The infatuated, playful type of love is the love that we refer to as puppy love when we were kids, and all of a sudden we liked somebody, a new little girl, new little boy. It was infatuated, playful type of love. The next one I want to bring to your attention is obsessive love. Obsessive love is not a healthy type of love. And this is the love that comes with, it involves a lot of jealousy and controlling behavior. When you, the obsessive love is generally the love you see in domestic violence and in a violent situation. Obsessive love is what we now call stalkers. That would be considered obsessive love when somebody's obsessed with someone. And I don't even know if we could put love with it. You know, they're putting love with it because the way the world is today, I wouldn't want to put love with it. You know, I wouldn't want to say obsessive love. But I'm sharing these things because people think it's love. And that's why they put that. It's because the person who is obsessed, they think that they're in love. They think that they're in love. Same thing with the infatuated. They, when somebody's infatuated, they don't know they're infatuated. They think that they're in love. Amen? I mean, when you really think about it, fall, if you define the word fall, that's such a negative word. Think about it. Anything that's falling, is that a good thing to fall? But yet people are talking about, I fell in love. That's already a bad sign right there. I fell in love. I'm falling in love. Think about it. The things we say. And when you really think about some of the things we say and you sit down and you think about it, it don't make sense. Amen? It doesn't make sense. So obsessive love is not a healthy love. It comes with a lot of abuse. It comes with emotional instability. Sometimes it could come with mental instability as well. So we already want to know that obsessive love is not. Obsessive love is the type of love that will allow you to put up with stuff that you know is not what God would like or want or desire for you. Obsessive type of love. And it's so, and because it feels so much like it's real, it feels so much like it's really love, it's hard to convince someone that's going through an obsessive type of love that is not love at all. It probably has the biggest stronghold. Amen? And then lastly, we're going to talk about practical love, pragma. Obsessive love is mania. That's the Greek word for it. And infatuated love is ludus. So we're going to talk about pragma, which is a practical type of love. And then this is going to be the last one on love, and I want to open up the line if anyone have a question or comment. But the practical type of love, this is the love that you see arranged marriages. It's, you know, we don't see that a lot here in the United States, but in other countries, those a lot of times the marriages are arranged, meaning from the time these kids are born, their families have already made an agreement that they will marry. And so this is that type of love. Another form of practical type of love is if you see a couple who has been divorced, a marriage that was divorced, and they got divorced, and then life had it where maybe one of the, let's just say the mother became ill, and the father moved back into the house to help with the overall household responsibilities, to help out the mother in her sickness with the children. That's a practical type of love. You know, it's a commitment or involvement generally between family, commitment between friends or partners. It's not, it has nothing to do with romance, so there's no eros involved in it. It's just it's convenient. It's practical. You know, there's some care there because you don't make a decision to be there for somebody that you don't really care about, that you don't have, you know, that you don't care about. So it definitely is some love there, but it's a practical relationship type situation. It's kind of predictable commitment, you know, through a prearranged marriage or through a situation where maybe it could be something. Let's say you have a roommate and you both need each other. You're in college. You both need each other because you guys both need help with the rent. That could be a practical type of love. So anyway, I brought those things up because of the fact, like I said, that the world acknowledges those things and identify with them. But there's only, again, four loves that's biblical love that the Word of God shows throughout the Word of God. And those are the first ones I gave you, the first four. And I just brought this up, and the reason I'm speaking about the love again is I'm kind of going over what we did, you know, go over last night, went in a little bit more detail because I do want us to understand as we continue our walk with God, to understand who God is in our lives and understand the love of God and how God loves us, and so that we could be able to receive that love and that we could walk in that love even as we're displaying love to others. Because if we don't really understand the true sense of what love is, again, if our first experience of love was negative, then it's going to be hard to love again if we don't understand or if we don't change that negative perception that we have about love. And God is love, and everything about God is love. So if we're saying that we're following God, then our hearts should be filled with this love, with this type of love that God has given us, amen, and that he's commanding us to give to others. So, again, I just want to bring that up. Tonight's show is a little different. It started off rocky, just getting here, but I wanted to get here. I wanted to be able to throw out some nuggets, and I'm hoping that you were able to embrace what was taught on tonight, that you, if nothing more on tonight's show, that you just have a better understanding of what love is and the various type of love, and that you could really begin as you walk through this life. And when you start showing reflective of love, you can say, oh, yeah, I remember this. I did this. Oh, yeah, I have this relationship here. Oh, it's that kind of love. And we can start focusing on trying to be more the godly type of love, more the agape type of love, more the philia type of love. Those are the two loves that we want to start trying to operate more and more in, so that we could be able to be pleasing to God and that we could keep his commandments as he commands us about loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. And if we don't love ourselves, it's going to be hard for us to love our neighbors. But if we don't know how to love, then it's going to seem impossible. So we have to start learning what this thing love is really truly about, and know that it's just not about some romantic getaway. It's not about a little man with an arrow, you know. And it's the perfect timing for this kind of conversation is because we are in the month of February, and we know that the world spends trillions of dollars on this day called Valentine's Day. And this Valentine's Day has been made to believe that love is all these romantic type of things. Another thing, you know, when you get around the holidays, and I had this talk with my mentor, and we were talking about this love thing again. And he mentioned mistletoes. And when you think about mistletoes, it's a reflection of a romantic type of love. You know, you put the mistletoe over somebody that you desire's head, and you could kiss them. And why would mistletoe, of all things, be the representation of love? Because when you think about the true definition of a mistletoe is a parasite. It's a parasite. It kills. It destroys. You know, and so if it kills, it destroys. Then why would that be something that we would use as a form of love, a mistletoe that's a parasite? Amen. So we want to get away from the world's definition of love. We want to get away from the picture that the world has painted about love. We want to start seeing what God say love is. And the only way we'll know what God say love is by getting into the Word of God and begin to understand the Word of God, so that the love of God could fill us up and that we will begin to operate in that love of God. Because the world's way is so contaminated, it's so tainted, it's so cursed, and it's given us the wrong definition of love. And that's why we're going through this life miserable. We're going through this life making bad choices. We're going through this life constantly being broken and hurt and all this other stuff that we go through, all in the name of love, because we got our love twisted. We got it mixed up, and God don't want us to have it mixed up. He loves us so much, but he can't, you know, he's not going to, it's not going to, like he's going to take a syringe and infuse love into you. You got to get into the Word. You got to read his Word. You got to saturate yourself in his Word in order to experience his love. Amen. So again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in on tonight. Let me just do this really quick. If there is anyone in the studio on tonight that have a question or a comment about tonight's show, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment. And I'm going to give it a couple of seconds, just to see if there's any questions or comments about tonight's show. Again, tonight's show, we went through the different various types of love, the definitions of the love, and we've identified the love that we believe God want us to operate in. Of course, starting with the most powerful love, which is agape, which evidently God knew that it would be difficult for us to operate in agape love. And I believe that the other love would be the philia type of love. Amen. Philia. And storge is not a bad love either, because we do. That's an automatic love that we normally have towards our family. So that's not a bad love. But when you're talking about the sacrifice love, the love of, I guess all three of those loves really would be a sacrifice, but the biggest being agape. So, Father God, we just thank you on tonight. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We thank you, Father God, that you are amazing. We thank you for your divine intervention, Lord. We thank you that you know all things, even when we don't. And Father God, we thank you that you have predestined everything. Nothing is by happenstance, but that you have predestined everything from the foundation of the earth. You even knew what type of day we would have on today. You knew the choices that we would make. You knew, Father God, the plans that you had for our lives, Lord. And Father God, we just thank you for that. We thank you that you loved us so much, Father, that you sent your only begotten Son so that we would not perish, but that we would have eternal life. So, Father, we just thank you for that. Lord, we say we love you, and we may not never be able to know how to love you in this flesh the way that you love us, Father. But, Father God, we want to say that we love you, Father, to the best that's humanly possible, Father, for us to love you, Father. We just thank you. And I pray for each person that's listening in on tonight, Lord, that they may have a new revelation of love, that they will operate in love, that they will dwell in love, that love will dwell in them, Father God. And Father God, because love is dwelling in them, Lord, that they will follow your commandments, that they will listen when you speak, and that they will be ready to do what you tell them to do because of your love that dwells in them. We thank you, Father God, that you said that love casts out all fear, Father. So, Father God, fill us with that love so that we don't have to walk in the spirit of fear, Father God. But, Father, that we could trust you completely and solely, Father God, that you will do all that you say that you will do, Father. And, Father, we just give you the glory now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to tune in to this episode of Processing the Pain. Know that you're each loved and appreciated, and hopefully you'll join us next Thursday, same time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue our journey in processing the pain. Good night.